Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. And this is about celebration of special EU commemoration days and celebration day, because this one is one to celebrate. It's the 27th of March. That's a very important day, because at that day and the 27th of March, North Macedonia became an official NATO member, not the EU member, NATO. And it is a wonderful thing. And I'm personally very happy about it. This was one of the best achievements, I think, in the last 10 years in the Balkans, in Europe in general, obviously also Montenegro, so in 2017. But, you know, the Macedonian issue is around quite a long time. And if we would say it's around since many centuries, or at least since the Vienna Congress, or for sure since the end of the Cold War, and obviously it is a big issue. And that it was now settled by NATO membership of North Macedonia is something I think the whole world can only celebrate and be very happy about it. All friends of peace, obviously. I mean, there meant some people in Russia or in China or in Iran, which are not happy about it, and in Syria, that I cannot exclude. But everybody who is interested in the free world and in what we do in Europe and in the reforms of Eastern European countries to free countries, and that is really a special and amazing day to celebrate, the 27th of March, 2020. Okay, we can of course say several things that why did it take so long? We will discuss that. We can also say that, oh, we must be really quite nonsensical if we now delay the EU accession and threaten maybe the internal stability of Macedonia by delaying that very long until the 2030s, like some presidents of a very big member state of the EU to the West have recently done, with extremely nonsensical decisions to block the EU accession of Macedonia. But I think, hopefully, as well, the current crisis will focus the minds of people, hopefully, who are listening. But I also tweet it and I say it in my YouTube videos, and please follow all of them, that it would be utterly nonsensical, even reckless irresponsibility, now after the long struggle for NATO accession, that we now delay the EU accession of Macedonia any further. And I call on the Macedonian authorities to adopt the euro immediately in 2021 to speed up things and to create facts and to get going, because it is always a risk there of some backsliding, because the enemies of NATO are active. They are active in Bosnia, in Kosovo, in Serbia. They are still active in Montenegro very much. And also in Macedonia, while now everything is on the macro level, security is stable, you never know, there can be always activities to threaten the stability of Macedonia. And only inside EU then, there is then also this additional political and macroeconomic stability possible, which then long-term will make the success of Macedonia absolutely guaranteed. How to achieve that? I made already quite a lot of podcasts, you remember, about adopting the euro. And Macedonia has already a pegged currency. That's already very good. And also Macedonia, in many of the aspects on economic reform, when it comes to doing business, the cadastre, the land register, the digitalization, the digital construction permits, Macedonia has already done a lot of reforms. And since 2016, since the elections and change to European Macedonia, there was also the important reforms of the security sector, of the intelligence sector. That's why I say always it's so important to join NATO, because NATO is assisting exactly these vital security sector reforms. But also the EU has assisted in the reform of the rule of law sector, of the police sector, of the justice sector, and all other sectors as well. So here is really a country that is ready for the European Union. and please send parliamentarians to the European Parliament in 2024 and not in 2200, like Mr. Macron seems to think. Yeah. So now let me talk about some of the historic aspects which were necessary to settle these issues and to achieve NATO membership, because this is now 30 years after the end of the Cold War, and it was 1991 when Macedonia declared independence on the 8th of September, so it was then recognized only gradually, unfortunately, but it was recognized, so Macedonia was spared the destiny of Kosovo as an unrecognized republic and all these dramas which happened in the 90s and the disasters. No, Macedonia came relatively stable through the 90s, whenever there was also an assassination attempt on the president, Gligorov. He survived, but you might remember his face was always scarred by the effect of, by the consequences and the impact of this explosion of his car. So stable it was not, because the negative forces had some impact as well in Macedonia. And obviously the development of Macedonia was blocked by the name discussions with Greece. Remember this socialist from Greece, Papandreou, making an ultra-populist statement and assembly in Thessaloniki, hundreds and thousands of people on the place, and whipping up the crowd against Macedonia as a former Yugoslavian republic, working up the Greek nationalism. And this has led, obviously, to this complex situation that only in 2018 it could be settled. It's one more, you know, I don't like Mr. Papandreou, obviously, and I think that was an outrageous thing to do and extremely unhelpful for peace in the Balkans. But it was a funny remark. He had his former minister of finance next to him, and there were hundreds of thousands of people in Greece, and he shouted, Dosta Ola, give everything. So this was this populist of Greece, really. And we still pay for all this kind of fiscal recklessness and political recklessness of Greece. And the Greeks, you know, we have really supported so much with the euro integration, keeping them in the euro, putting as much money as it was somehow justifiable in the Greek infrastructure. But we rarely heard an Evcharisto from Greece. And it's some of the total bizarre things that it had to come to a very reckless leader of Greece. It was Mr. Tsipras, who is who went to the Fidel Castro funeral. I mean, more I don't have to say what kind of personality is, from what kind of spectrum he is. Yeah? But he was, and this is to his credit, I have to say, even when I criticized him on many occasions already, but he was the man to make peace with Macedonia. He was the man to settle on a compromise which was since 30 years very clear already, that this will not be called Elinden Macedonia or something else, but it's the Republic of North Macedonia. I mean, for anybody looking at the geography, I think maybe I should describe it. It's Thessaloniki, around this Macedonia, that's a federal state of Greece. Greece has also regions, not very powerful. By the way, you could also reform that in Greece and get into more American model of democracy and less a centralist one. It would help Greece very much. And in the north, there is the former Republic of Macedonia, Yugoslav Republic, which is obviously in the north, and it's the Republic of North Macedonia. So I don't know what took us 30 years, but anyhow, nevertheless, it's historic, because changing the name of a country is a historic achievement. There is no doubt about it. Yeah? And that is a soul very sensitive, obviously. Identity issues are sensitive, not just in the Balkans, but, you know, in Germany and in France, obviously, as well, and in Denmark and in Sweden and in every country. Every country has a proud history, a proud identity, and a history to defend. So changing names of countries is not a small feat. And it was possible in 2018. And I would like to say that was deserved to have a lot of rewards. They should also get the Nobel Peace Prize and not others who have achieved much less. That's my point. Yeah? But this was a big achievement, and everybody can be proud. It was the biggest achievement during the Juncker presidency. It was also the EU having a strong role of negotiations to mediate some compromise to get all this 2016 elections done and to have also then the Prespa agreement. But obviously the American, despite all this anti-European rhetoric and this really, you know, America is a superpower even when it's run by Trump. And I want to say that, you know, the American administration, even run by Trump, you know, to their very great credit, it has decisively intervened in the Macedonian settlement. And it was not only the EU, but it was very much the Americans which ensured there is ratification in Athens and in Skopje. And this was against the massive opposition by Russia and Serbia and a lot of other forces of the negative side. Yeah? But America has carried this decision through in both parliaments and, of course, together with the Europeans. But this has made everything possible later than the NATO membership. And that now, and can understand it as well, what kind of investment, what kind of energy was put in that one, and what kind of important decision this is for European peace. And then later came a personality from Paris, like a young superstar, very pro-European, and he then blocked Macedonia's EU accession in a, created a big crisis of confidence in the Balkan by a veto against Macedonia and Albania, two NATO allies. At this stage, maybe they were, Macedonia was still at the edge of NATO, and because it took a bit longer. But Mr. Macron has definitely proven with that decision to veto the EU accession, which now he has withdrawn, so we could forgive him. But no, it was recklessly irresponsible and utterly wrong. And it is in the context, when you understand, and I think there's a lot of people also in France who care for the Balkans, and I'm sure they have great diplomats. But if a European leader does such a decision, you know, he has proven for me not to be a European leader anymore. And this is not an easy thing to forgive. A recklessness, irresponsibility in the European Council cannot easily be forgiven. And I hope there will be a better president in France, because we don't need such a president who claims to be pro-European. But after this kind of massive effort for peace, for NATO accession, for reconciliation between Greece and Cyprus, and also between, no, Cyprus, I say Macedonia and Greece, and also between Macedonia and Bulgaria, and then to block it. And the similar thing to a lesser extent can also be said about Bulgaria, because I have always supported Bulgaria for 30 years, and European Union has consequently supported Bulgaria in all its efforts. And it's also an amazing superstar of reforms in many ways. Yeah? But Bulgaria did now in 2020, it was, yeah, and in December, to block then Macedonia again with part of the negotiations and the start of the negotiation, this is utterly unforgivable. And I think it's the clearest and straightest way I can say. If countries abuse the power vested in the membership in NATO and in the EU, and then to blackmail poorer neighbors into submission by the power, the big states of Europe and of NATO have vested in this alliance. Yeah? And that's an incredible strong bond we have in the EU and NATO, because we give and we empower small countries. And because that's the idea, basically, to spread prosperity, security, and the regulatory system everywhere in Europe. And when then in an alliance, obviously every partner has a strong role and also veto power. But if you then overstretch it, like Greece did it in 2008, like Bulgaria did it in 2019, and like to some extent Paris has done it also with the veto against Albania and Macedonia, there is consequences on that one. And Greece has felt it very hard, the consequent. Bulgaria will also feel it very hard, I'm confident. And you know, that will be also the case. And also Paris, there must be consequences. Who blocks our union must also bear consequences. Because these are important issues. These are not minor secondary issues of a non-relevance. I know many people, when they listen in America, they, or whatever, in India or in Germany or in Austria, they think, is Macedonia really so important? Yes, every country matters. And issues of war and peace and decisive structural issues in the European periphery absolutely they matter very much. They are not like for secondary, forget who, where is the country, or don't care. No, 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 no. And this is really important. I will also tell you a bit about maybe the history in between. Macedonia had a very difficult beginning with this 90s. It was basically the route to break the embargo towards Serbia. That was from Thessaloniki, obviously, the port, and bringing things south, north to Serbia and Montenegro, at that time still Yugoslavia. It had to pass through Macedonia. That was obviously creating a lot of organized criminalities, because there was a lot of embargo breaking via Albania to Montenegro and via Greece over to the north Macedonia and then directly into the south of Serbia via the Preševo Valley. This was obviously very much affecting also the structure of the economy negatively, because that was the start of it. And then secondly, it was also that the Kosovo War had a huge effect. First of all, from this huge refugee inflows, because Milosevic drove so many people, for the Kosovo Albanians, towards the south to Macedonia, because the Albanian mountains were extremely hard to climb and there was almost no valley passes. There were also a lot of Albanians driven into Albania, but from Kosovo, but most of them were in the refugee camps in Macedonia, and it was a very difficult situation. But for Macedonia and for Albania, obviously during this crisis, a very firm bond has developed. Because the moments of crisis, this kind of escalation of 98 and 99, has led to, I think, a very strong, if unbreakable bond between Albania and between Macedonia at that time, and the American authorities who had to help and who wanted to help and the Kosovo Albanians against the genocidal regime of Milosevic. And it was very difficult, you know, the negotiations were difficult, the conditions were difficult, but the access to Kosovo was only possible via Macedonia at that time. And when you see that Bill Clinton came to Macedonia, visited that camp, met the political leadership of Albania and Macedonia at that time, and I think this was the formative moment when the decisions were made also to make sure that Albania and Macedonia will join NATO. And the Americans have kept their words. And it was also difficult for Macedonia, because it's often forgotten, but there was also a very difficult conflict after the Kosovo War in 2000 and 2001. There was not a very big conflict, but there was a conflict between the Macedonian authorities and the suppressed Albanian minorities in West Macedonia. It was settled then fast and effectively, with the help of NATO and the international negotiators. And this is the Ohrid Agreement, where the rights of the minorities were first time fully secured. It took some time to implement it, but it's still the valid fundament of working democracy with the full representation of the minorities in Macedonia. That's quite historic. So this is also a very important day, the 13th of August 2001, when the Ohrid Agreement was signed. And then, obviously, Macedonia worked relatively fine and got already in 2005 the EU candidate status. I'm not tired to repeat this. On the 16th of December 2005, the EU Commission, objectively and fairly, evaluated that Macedonia is ready for the EU membership, just to do the negotiations, but they got already the candidate status. That's 16 years ago. 16 years we have done. And I would like to remember that I made already one about a podcast. Remember when George Bush welcomed everybody in the big enlargement round? This was a ceremony in the White House in March 2004. And there was Albania, Croatia and Macedonia already present. Yeah? And then everything too, and Albania, of course, and Croatia, they were in 2008-09, finally on the 1st of March 2009, members of NATO. And it took another decade, 11 years even, for North Macedonia. And obviously, you know, there's many reasons, but mostly we can blame it on the Greeks. And, you know, I don't want to be vindicative. I am also very much in favor of Greece and, you know, to support that beautiful country, I have said. But a decade of conflict and what they have done in Bucharest is an unforgivable thing. Yeah, it is not easy to forgive. Yeah? And that is now regulated only fully once Macedonia is in the Euro and in the European Union and sends the members in the European Parliament in 2024. And now we have a very nice Prime Minister in Greece, Mr. Mitsotakis, also one of these very big famous political families. So we will see if he is really a friend of America and a friend of Europe. He behaves like a European statement. He made great and good reforms. And the American ambassador in Greece is always tweeting that he is a great friend Greece is now a great friend of America and a strategic ally in the Eastern Mediterranean. So let's measure that by Macedonian EU membership and also by the highways to be built and by all the connectivity which is necessary and so on and so on. In real terms, the friendship with America is measured by the membership of North Macedonia, Albania and Montenegro in the European Union. And Greece has still to this day, and I repeat, still to this day, not recognized the Republic of Kosovo. That's an outrageous miss. And they claim to be friends of America and to be good EU members. How can you be a good EU member when you don't recognize our key element of the foreign policy? Like recognition of Kosovo is a key, this is a key achievement. Yeah? This was all the European countries together with the Americans who intervened decisively against genocide of Milosevic and who have recognized then in 2008. Anyhow, Macedonia has recognized, just to stay on the topic and not to talk too much about Greece, but I have to talk about Greece because it's an important power and it will be the country most benefiting from the interconnectivity and the market access and from the conclusive membership of all Balkan countries because it's no longer so on the periphery. It will be also very well connected to the European Union center in Germany and in Italy and in the Central Europe, once the whole Balkan countries are member. So it's so annoying to talk for 30 years about the better Greek foreign policy. But okay, at least, and to its credit by Prime Minister Tsipras, he has made this historic agreement for peace in Prespa and it should be rewarded. In between, there was Nationalist and EPP party, Wimmera, in the power from 2006 to 2016. And, you know, in the beginning, they were really reforming very well. And he was Mr. Gruevski, who is now a refugee in Hungary, by the way. And it's quite the case, because he was a very good economic reformer. He has introduced the flat tax and he reformed the cadastre, and he did a lot of economically good things. But unfortunately, somewhere, I will blame it also partly on this confused identity issue, but also the temptation of power after 2010-11, maybe also the less of a real perspective. But he started all this mess with Skopje 2014, full of corruption and full of fake identity narrative manifested in a lot of statutes. highly provocative and very costly and very confused, because you need to improve, obviously, the city center of any town in the Balkans, and it is important to build a fountain, to do some monuments, to increase the facades, and it's all fine, and that's not the problem. But to do it in a megalomaniac style, and so expensive, and so many monuments, I think that was, yeah, and it was, you can also build highways. In Kosovo, they built highways, for example. Berisha built a lot of highways. And that's the thing to do, first of all. You can do the monuments a bit later as well. But no. And also then came a very difficult period. I think the most difficult probably started in the years from 2013, when also the withdrawal of America and this kind of everybody does what he wants face in Eastern Europe, and this kind of Russian aggression against Ukraine has led to a big neck, and also then Trump. And, you know, in that phase, there was this wiretap scandal, the Kumanova crisis, and so on and so on. Unprecedented levels of corruption, abuse of state power in the judiciary, and really, you know, culminating then in the flight of the former prime minister via Albania in a car from the embassy of Hungary going to Budapest, where he lives today. And, you know, when you see how he started as a great economic reformer and as a, also doing considerable good things, and then this kind of flight in the night, driving in a foreign embassy car towards Budapest, and all the things we now know from these tapes and from this wire scandal, all the corruption thing and all the unbelievable form of disgusting behavior, that is really very bad. And anyhow, there's more on the internet. I even don't want to repeat all this kind of... And many of the things are not even now so clear who did what, and there's a lot of variations of the facts out there. But to the benefit of everybody, after the conclusive agreement of 2015, and here I would also mention that Johannes Hahn from Austria, he really did a very decent support for Macedonia. And then in 2016, the new elections. And since then, I think the road for peace and for progress of North Macedonia, unprecedented, and everybody can be very proud about the progress achieved. But I have already made it very clear that now we need to get the things done. Now the euro, now the EU membership, and anybody who is against that must have lost his mind. I can really not understand. Okay, maybe I need to learn the high diplomacy or some kind of higher wisdom. But please, after all the countries in the fragile periphery, in the east and in the southeast of Europe, they need clarity, they need a direction, they need a stable framework of a currency and a regulatory framework and the security. And if they want to have it, yeah, let's speed up the things. What we gain from delaying, the illusion of conditionality and perfection blackmailed by us by delaying, is only creating this kind of Gruevski phenomenon. Because if we would have done everything as it had, should have been, already with Croatia, Albania and Macedonia would be in, and North Macedonia, we could have, man, I posted 10 years ago already about North Macedonia and have written articles about it. Yeah? So it's not such amazing. And if we would have done that a decade before, we would be much further. And where would have been the problem? I sometimes I lose really patience with some of the decision making in Brussels and all these delays, this recklessness and this kind of, it's creating, it's fostering exactly the counter reaction by this oligarchization. And anyhow, it's not realistic to join the EU, so let's get rich quick. And that's what the political elite of these countries, we delay too much, is obviously then thinking more about the 2-3 years perspective, where they have political power and they try to maximize their benefits and their profits from that, because of the instability of their own political situation. and they try to abuse the system towards their own benefits. And we create basically this instability and fragility by our own delaying tactics, because our Western European elites are incapable to explain to the people what really is going on, and then they blame it on enlargement. Yeah, we made no decision in Brussels because enlargement. Yeah? As if, you know, the procurement, if any Eastern Europeans would have so much influence in Brussels about any of the crises we had. It's not the case. Yeah. So let's get clear. Let's celebrate this 27th of March as a really amazing day in European history. Every 27th of March should be the wonderful European-wide day of celebration of North Macedonian NATO accession, also as a symbol for future accession of Kosovo and Bosnia, first of all, Georgia, of course, Ukraine and Moldova, and also, if they want, they should, Serbia, Austria, Malta, Cyprus, Finland, Ireland, and Sweden, and all the neutrals in. And also, let's get the three first in NATO countries, Albania, Montenegro, North Macedonia, in the European Union for the next parliament elections. And let's make sure that we open the door for Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia as EU potential candidates, and get them all ready together with Kosovo, Bosnia, and Serbia in 2029. And we will be much better, much stronger, much more united. We will have much more less conflicts with Russia, because we created clarity and we created stability in Eastern Europe. And that's the task of the European Union and NATO. So a great day. Celebrate North Macedonia. And whenever you have time, visit this beautiful country. It's an amazing country. I love it very much. Please go to Skopje, Ohrid, and to many of other of the beautiful cities, and drink some of the Macedonian wine. It's really very tasty. And enjoy the beautiful city of Skopje. So, thanks a lot for listening. For peace.